Cool. And we have reached that point in the program where we have discussed everything that was on my list. If there is something on your list or you want to continue to discuss anything that we have already talked about, then we can absolutely go down the rabbit hole. If not, I can sign off and we can watch. I can go and watch Oak Island. Because I've been with that show for how many seasons now? I am ready. And I am so done with their narrator. Every time they find a piece of dirt saying, could it be? It's the most infuriating thing in the world, but they have me convinced something happened on that island. So I will put up with all that nonsense just in case. So anything else on your mind tonight, folks? I'd be glad to go. One of you asked earlier, Nolan, I don't know if you're still with us, Nolan. He asked, if we're going down the rabbit hole already, what about, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Ghislaine Maxwell? I'm so bad with names. What about her? We're not in the actual trial stage yet, I don't think. So I haven't been paying a huge amount of attention to that. I hope that, I'm pretty convinced that Epstein was absolutely guilty of what he is accused of, based upon the eyewitnesses that have come forward. And it would appear that she would have to have been complicit and a participant in all of that. So that's probably not a good member of the jury, because that's kind of what I'm going in there with. But we'll have to see. 100 Yard Alchemist also joining us on Podbean. Hey, say hello. Thanks for checking in. Let's see any of your comments. Mike says, enjoy your show, Jay. Mike, I love your comments. Glad you're always here. Mike says, the Maxwell case is going to be hard to follow since it's a federal case and the prosecutor is Comey's daughter. I don't think much will be released. Yeah. What I would absolutely dream of and love is that at some point she realizes what she's up against and she turns and reveals all the people that participated in Epstein's circle. That's what I would like to see. I would be really sad if ultimately the only one who paid a price would be Maxwell. That would be just the worst possible outcome for me. So, we'll have to wait and see. David says, CNN just suspended Chris Cuomo. I don't know if it has anything to do with his brother or not. Yeah, it does, from what I've seen. The story came out that Chris was using station resources to investigate the accusers of his brother. Now, that to me is not strange. It's common anytime somebody's making allegations against an election official that you would look into the credibility of that person. The question is, did Chris pass that information off to his brother? And I think that probably that's what happened. That's why he's being suspended. Again, anytime somebody makes an allegation against an elected official, the first thing you do is you verify the credentials of the accuser, right? I do it all the time when somebody sends me evidence, quote, evidence about a doctor saying something about COVID. The first thing I do is check the credentials. So that's not strange. What would be strange is if he handed that information off. And I don't know about you guys, you may hate him, but I actually like Chris Cuomo. I like him. I disagree with him a lot, but I think he makes a good, honest attempt at seeing both sides and listening to the other side and staying away from a lot of the rhetoric. He's about the only one I can stand as far as talking heads on CNN. But I like Chris. I like his approach. He got into it when he was having his brother on every day. I enjoyed those segments, but at the same time, the journalist in me was like, how is this acceptable? You know? So I thought that was all very strange from the very beginning. And it was like when I found out that Sean Hannity was having lunch with Trump. I'm like, how do you keep any journalistic lines of integrity when you're doing those types of things? It just blows my mind, right? Unless you're announcing it and being very vocal about it. Let's see. Let's go here to Podbean. Oh, Jill and 100 Yard are talking to each other. So I'll let you guys continue the discussion. Mike says, now, hang on, Jay. I checked the credentials of the magistrate and you heckled me. Now, yeah, talk about credentials. You said he was an ACLU-loving whatever. What you've got to do in that case, because the issue is not about his credentials. The issue is about evidence for me. So, yeah, check the credentials. So the judge said something. And if the judge had said there's no evidence and you have evidence and you also think he's an ACLU whack job, well, that all kind of plays together. But when the best you have is this allegation about his background, to me, that's speculation. Let's see. Mike says, and Cuomo lied profusely about Rittenhouse. I'm not familiar. Didn't watch a lot of Cuomo recently about Rittenhouse. I did talk on the show the other night when I told you that I agreed with, and I don't think you were here, Mike, but I did a show about why I agreed with the Rittenhouse verdict. And if I was on the jury, I would have acquitted as well. And one of the things that I talked about was how damaging the early narrative was, the narrative that we heard from the media. And that's why I still think a lot of people, in fact, I was having a conversation with my daughter tonight, and she's still relying on that early narrative that he carried the gun across state lines, that he was shooting randomly during the event. That early narrative, which was very damaging, continued to be played out and perpetuated in the media. But I will tell you, when the verdict came out, I did the biased media test. You missed this, Mike. It's a great tactic. If you're lazy about trying to find out about the issues, there's a quick way that I have to go and assess how bad things really are. And it's called the biased media test. And yes, my friends, I did put together a graphic for it. Here it is.
The biased network test.
There you go. The bias network test. Here's how the bias network test goes. Knowing that CNN has a bias towards Rittenhouse, what I did is when the verdict came out, I didn't tune into Fox, I tuned into CNN. Because I knew that they would have the very worst about the verdict. They would bring on their experts and everything else, and that would be the very worst. And I would look at that and I would say, if I could deal with the very worst that CNN has, then it's really not that bad. And so I watched all day long on CNN after the verdict came out. Every single pundit, every single anchor, every single person was forced to admit that the evidence was not on the prosecution's side, that the prosecution's case was weak from the very beginning, that Rittenhouse was clearly in the act of defending himself, that he didn't bring the gun over state lines, that it was not illegal for him to be carrying the gun, and therefore that the entire narrative that we heard for months and months about Rittenhouse was not true. So if I saw that on CNN, if they, all their pundits, the worst thing they had to say was somebody saying, if this was a black man, he wouldn't have been acquitted. Everybody else said the burden was too great on the prosecution and that they understood what the jury did. So that's a quick way, a quick sample. If you haven't looked up on the issue, so like if Biden does something and you want to know the absolute worst interpretation of what he did, tune into Fox News. And if you can stomach their interpretation, then things aren't that bad. Does that make sense? And if you're not sure, tune them both on and take the CNN and take Fox and then adjust for bias and where you meet in the middle, that's probably where you're going to find the truth. So just friendly tip there.
The Bias Network Test.
The Bias Network Test. Another easy test to implement to find out the reality of any situation. Mike says he was literal counsel for the ACLU. It doesn't matter if he was counsel for the ACLU. That means nothing to me. Literally nothing. People, just because you represent somebody does not mean that you buy into all of those things. And by the way, the other thing I would tell you, Mike, this is going to hurt you a little bit. The ACLU is not always wrong. They actually get it right sometimes. So excusing away a magistrate's verdict because he represented the ACLU, to me, is a complete grasp and an attempt to discredit a decision that just doesn't, just like you can say somebody was an attorney for a serial killer. That doesn't mean that they support serial killers. That's just the way our legal system works. So that does not discourage me at all with their decision in any way, shape, or form. So, and plus you add the funny little fact that there is no evidence of widespread election fraud. To me, that all lends to his credibility. Let's see here. Mike says it's rare that they're right. Well, but that's the point, is that I knew from the coverage and the narrative that they were going to be biased against Rittenhouse. And so when I tuned into CNN and I saw that they were forced to admit that the jury got it right, then I knew without any doubt in that moment that the jury got it right, because they were forced to admit it. So, and I've done the same thing on Fox. When I tune in and they're going after Biden for something, if I can stomach what they're saying, then I know it's not that bad. That what Biden did is not that bad. It's just a fun little test. You know I like to play the networks off of each other. Let's see. Mike, now going after the ACLU, made a recent comment on the FBI raid on James O'Keefe while simultaneously slamming the Second Amendment. Yeah, I'm not here to debate all of the ACLU's policies. As it comes up with individual policies, I'm not here to, I will take it one issue at a time. Just like I'm not here to tell you that the NRA gets it right all the time. I will take it one issue at a time. Just like I'm not here to accept claims of cancel culture, because I think we should be talking about whatever the issue is. And when we slap a label on something, what we're trying to do is avoid the discussion. If you don't like it, slap a label on it, and then you don't have to deal with it. So when I was talking about credibility when it comes to somebody making an allegation, I'm talking about like the individual who said they were going to bury me in COVID evidence, who sent me three doctors. Not one of them is a doctor in medicine. Oh, wait, one of them was. But they had been thrown off of the medical board for selling their own cures to to those types of things. So that's the first thing. They were not, that one was an economist, the other was a financial planner. So that's the first red flag. The second red flag, and this is all part of it, you have to put them all together. You can't just take one on its own. Like the ACLU thing, that on its own somehow means that he couldn't have made the right decision. So first of all, the credibility, lousy. Second of all, no supporting evidence. Third, claims debunked readily. And often what they say that is something in support of them actually supports the very thing that they're speaking out against. So you put it all together. Mike, put it all together. Just in a nice package, you know. And ask yourself, would you want this guy as a witness at my trial? Would they pass the credibility test? Mike says, okay, to be fair, the director of the WHO is not a physician, has never seen a patient. And he was, if I recall right, implicated in the Ethiopian AIDS scandal. I'm not familiar with the director of the WHO, the band, or the organization. I think WHO is a terrible name. But I'm not familiar with how the WHO works. But my understanding of the WHO would be, and I never use the WHO, by the way. I always go CDC, FDA. Is that the top guy isn't the one making all the decisions. Like when vaccines are approved, these are panels of medical professionals. It's not one person making a decision for everybody. So you can be a director of something. But again, I'm not, I hate their name because you can't use their name in any reasonable form. It's a hair. Who decided we're going to name? See, there you go. Who decided we're going to name it WHO? It's horrible. It's just horrible. By an acronym. All right? By an acronym. So let's just play in that arena, though, Mike. If he's the guy making all the decisions and he is not a doctor, then that is absolutely a strike against him. Being implicated in something without evidence, I would have to be like, okay, I can't judge one way or the other on that. So I'm like, okay, so now let's see the supporting evidence. So like it's a break even with this guy. So let's see the evidence that he's going on. But again, I don't know anything about him. Mike says, yeah, it's a dumb acronym, just like critical race applied principles. Mike says he sets the policy as the figurehead. Well, he's not deciding our policies, and most countries have their own health organizations that are making their own determinations about these things. Like we talked about last week, the UK approved the vaccines several weeks before we did because their panel and their health organizations had come to a conclusion before we could. And we did our own research. We looked at our own studies. We required our own processes. And so, and we had a panelist to do those things. So I'm not familiar with one person setting the policy for the entire country. Mike says, no, but the CDC takes a lot of direction in conjunction. They do work together. Absolutely. They do work together, but the WHO is not telling the CDC what to do. That I know. And the CDC and the FDA, they tell you, we know who were on these panels. We know what evidence they looked at. It's all published. It's all right there. And even what you've told me is not enough to discredit the WHO director. As I've said, I don't know anything about him. And I don't know their systems. But that in itself is not enough. Like I said, with the guy who sent me the doctors, okay, let's look at the first doctor. He's an economist. He's not a doctor. Does that mean what he's saying is not true? No, not necessarily. But it is a break even, right? The reason that this guy sended me it is because he looked it up and he saw a doctor. I promise you he never checked to see what kind of doctor. So is it a strike against him? No, but is the doctor a strike in his favor or a plus in his favor? No. So doctor becomes a zero. So now let's look at what they're saying, and are they presenting any evidence, any corroborating evidence? Is there anything to support what they're saying? No. Oh, wait, there was one thing, but you know what? When you read it, it actually says exactly the opposite. So you understand what I'm saying here? So let's go back to the WHO guy. Okay, so not a doctor, made some choices. Well, is there evidence to support his choices? Are his choices backed up? Or is there a plenty out there that goes against it? This is my process. This is how I go through. Step one, find out who they are, what their background is. Step two, look at their claims. Are they citing studies that I can look at, peer-reviewed? Step three, is their interpretation of those studies, is it accurate? And you put it all together. Remember, it's a package. Package. It all goes together. So same thing with the CDC or any other health organization. Same goes with Fauci or anybody else. That's my process. So any other thoughts or comments on the world out there? See if I had anything else flagged that might be of interest. Since I've got you guys all here, you know, since we're all just hanging out. Let me check my other stories here. The whole Marjorie Taylor Greene stuff and Boebert stuff, I just makes me ill. We talked about the guy at the COVID party. No, let's see if anything's come through since we went on the air here. We'll go to my feed and we'll see here. Well, you guys can. Oh, here's interesting. Kyle Rittenhouse says he is destroying the AR-15 rifle he used in Kenosha and doesn't want anything to do with it. Let's pull that up. Let me get you a better shot there. This is Yahoo News. Kyle Rittenhouse said during a podcast that he did not want anything to do with the firearm he used last August. He added he did, he was acquitted during an appearance on the conservative podcast of Charlie Kirk Show. He said that the firearm is being destroyed right now. We don't want anything to do with it. In the same podcast, Rittenhouse criticized Assistant District Attorney Thomas Binger for placing his finger on the trigger during a courtroom demonstration. He was pointing the gun at the gallery, and I looked at my attorney. I said, Corey, that's gun safety 101, loaded or not. Treat a gun like it's loaded. He says, growing up, I wanted to be a police officer to be able to help people when they're having bad days. So that is really interesting. If you missed my podcast about my support of the jury verdict, I also went on to say, just because I believe with the jury verdict, that does not mean that I think that Kyle Rittenhouse is any kind of hero. He should not be celebrated as a hero. And he really created a lot of that situation. And he's lucky that he's still alive. He's lucky that the police didn't shoot him. He's lucky to get out of there with his life. A lot of people were making a lot of bad choices that night, and he was one of them. Were his actions criminal? No. Were they stupid? Yes. Were they heroic? No. We do not live in a society where we go out into the streets with our own firearms to do the job of police. That is not the society we live in. That is not the society we want to live in. All that does is create more confusion, put more people at risk. That is, in my opinion, that is not what we want. And so people trying to make Kyle out to be some kind of a hero, I think is a really bad choice. And actually, I kind of like Kyle after the fact. He's saying the right things while people are trying to prop him up as something that he should not be propped up for. Mike says, that's the point, Jay. In Kenosha and dozens of other cities, the police were not doing their jobs by design. That's not a point, Mike. Even if that's true, it's not time to get your weapons and go out in the street. It's not a point. That is not the way our society works. The only part of our society where we say it is acceptable to get out your gun and to protect is at your home, if it's your individual business, if it's you being confronted. There is no part of our society where we say that when a riot is happening, that it is the job of civilians to go into the streets and stop that riot. That is not our society. And if you don't think the police are doing their job, then we have systems to deal with that. There is no part of our government that says if you don't feel the police are doing their job or you don't like the way the government is operating, that you get your AR and you go into the street to do it yourself. You can do it for your home. You can do it for your property. This is not heroic. This is dangerous. You play this out to where this could have gone. Police believing a mass shooter is out there in the streets, get in a gunfight with this young man, police die, he dies. The minute civilians get involved in this, all clarity is lost. There is no way for police to determine the intent of people in this situation. That's why you want everyone in a uniform, everybody identifiable readily and easily. When you introduce civilians who are not held to the same standard, who cannot be quickly identified, when you introduce them into that situation, you are compounding the problem. And you are putting more lives at risk. It is not heroic. The police are not asking you to do this. This cannot be considered acceptable. It is a dangerous, dangerous path to come down. Let's see. X Future says, please, on Twitch, haven't seen you here before, please focus on the real issues. Okay, do you want me to read your mind? Or would you mind telling me what you would like me to focus on? Because identifying something that you don't think is a real issue, and so it must not be a real issue? Like, are you the grand decider of real issues? Mike says, when police refuse to serve and protect, which happened the night before, what are the people to do? I'll tell you what the people are to do. You get out of the way, you clear out. Unfortunately, property is destroyed. But there is insurance. We can rebuild, and we do rebuild. You try and capture everybody that you can. But you do not go to the streets with your weapons and take the law into your own hands. That is not the answer. That will only make things worse. And Kyle should not, he should be the example, the poster child for what happens when you do that. He didn't improve things. He made them infinitely worse. And as I said, he's very lucky. Very lucky that he walked out of there with his life. And that he wasn't facing having killed a police officer. Or that, God forbid, a police officer has to deal with the fact that he shot a 17-year-old. Who, after the fact, wasn't there random shooting people, but you couldn't determine that in the heat of the moment. So now a 17-year-old is dead who had the right intentions. This is just the absolute worst, worst way to handle this type of thing. The worst. David says, if surgeons refuse to do surgery, would that mean you should perform a surgery or someone else if you were untrained? Mike says, let their business burn. Insurance didn't even provide enough money to take away the rubble of the burnt down business. It's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. But that doesn't change anything. It doesn't change the point. This is not, there is nowhere in our society where we commend this, where we encourage it. There is nothing codified in law that suggests this is the proper course of action. Nothing. Because it's not. It's not. And sometimes, Mike, sometimes bad things happen. And you have a choice. Well, I can make it worse, or I just have to let the bad blow over. And I'm going to suggest that anybody going into a situation like this is putting themselves and the police in greater harm's way. I've interviewed many police officers over the years. And they all say they don't want the civilian element because they cannot determine in an instant what the intent of that element is. You put yourself in a police situation where you get word on the radio that there's a young man in the crowd shooting among the protesters, and you're supposed to process that and respond to it and know that, no, he doesn't really have any intent. He's just trying to protect property and other people, but he didn't shoot until he was attacked himself. There is no way to know that. There is nothing good that can come from civilians grabbing their weapons and joining that fray. There just isn't. There isn't. And sometimes bad things happen as a result. But I would rather have the bad of property destruction than the bad of civilians getting shot, protesters getting shot, and police officers getting shot. Because that's what you're introducing. That's why Kyle Rittenhouse is no hero, and I'm really glad he's not acting like a hero. I'm really glad to see it. I think this young man realizes that what he did was really stupid. And we ought not to be celebrating stupid. That's dangerous. The Ebola Queen says, if we allow vigilantism, then people who disagree with you can also come out and enforce their beliefs with guns. Mike says, let them lose their livelihoods, their lives, savings, etc. I hate it. I hate it. And so my preference is the police are out there, but you know what? There's strength in numbers. It's just like right now with these smash and grabs. It's a very difficult situation to get a hold of. And sometimes that's just the stinky part. It stinks. But it's not a reason to make it worse. It's not a reason to make it worse. Because now you're still going to have that loss of life, of property, and you're going to add loss of life to it. And I can tell you, the police are not asking for it. And if anybody knows what is needed during that time, you know, if the police chief got on the phone and they said, hey, we want everyone to come out with their guns tonight, maybe it would be a little bit different, because then they could deputize them and they could put them in some type of uniform. I mean, that's a different scenario. And maybe there's some type of a call for that. But it has to be organized under the supervision of law, lawfully carried out, and done so in such a way that it doesn't make it worse. He made it worse. And he's lucky to be alive. Let's see. Ex-Futuré says, the past is the past. Can we please talk about the Cartnarks? Ex-Future, I have to tell you, hate to tell you this, but the past is what we learn from. The past is our textbook. The future is not a textbook. The past is how we assess what we should do moving forward. And if there are young men out there who are watching Rittenhouse being called a hero, young men whose minds are not fully developed yet, it's important that we have these discussions. I understand if you don't want to have it, if you don't like it, but that doesn't mean it's not of great value. Mike says, Rittenhouse was not the vigilante. The vigilantes were the people that drove 40 miles with felons carrying firearms and randomly firing at people fleeing attackers. If your goal is to take the law into your own hands, does that qualify for vigilante? I mean, we could pick that word apart, Mike, if you want. I think that the point still stands. The point being made that we don't want this to happen. If you don't like the word vigilante, fine. But that doesn't change the point. You kind of like to focus in on little things. It's like my kids, when I'd get mad at them for doing something, and they would grab the one part of the thing that I said that wasn't wholly accurate. Like I'd say, you came home after school and you did this, and how dare you? And they'd say, I didn't do it after school. That's not true. It's like, that part is irrelevant. So I don't have a problem with putting the word vigilante on Rittenhouse that night. He was taking the law into his own hands. I don't have a problem with that description. You might. I don't. Let's see. Read the words, Jay. Yeah, I did read them. To be fair, Mike says, to be fair, the police saw Rittenhouse all that night not being threatening with his weapon. The allowance of the mobs to burn down the city emboldens them to come to the neighborhoods next, Jay. Yeah, it does. Totally agree with you. That's why you've got to catch them. You've got to prosecute them. You've got to have a police force, and you've got to deal with it properly. That's exactly right. That's all a reason for good, responsible police departments, National Guard if necessary. That's all a reason for that. That is not a reason for random strangers to wander into those zones carrying. It's just not. X-Future says, do you realize that J-Mac is the name of a prominent male porn star? No, didn't know. Would consider rebranding. No, you just can't rebrand when that's been your nickname for 20 years. You know? And, yeah. Let's see. Mike says, it just occurred to me that you're a bit of a pacifist. No, that makes no sense. I'm for proper, lawful, legal action. I'm not a pacifist. I support the use of force when necessary. I just want that force to be under some type of rules and guidelines and accountability. And I want those people, because this is who I don't think you're thinking about. I want those police officers to have absolute clarity in that moment, to know who the threats are, and to not have to be sidetracked by people trying to figure out if they are a threat. Stay out. That's what the police want you to do. They want you to stay out so that they can do their job. And if you don't agree with how they do their job, then run for police chief, go to the police academy, get involved in your elections, fight for change, do everything legally and lawfully. Do not take the law into your own hands. That's what the Avengers do. That's not what we do. Mike says, ex-future, you have an unusual familiarity with porn star names. Let's see. And the Ebola Queen says, Mike, we've established you have the right to protect your home. Exactly. And how many pacifists do you know that conceal carry? I don't know if I'm allowed to show this on the, but this is my desk, and this is right here. My desk, right here. Pacifist much? Let's see. Mike says, the Ebola Queen, your business is on the same plane as your business. I think you mean home. It's your property, period. I said, if it's your home, your business. If somebody knows that there's going to be a mob coming down the street, I still don't think it's very smart to stand outside your business with a shotgun. But you have legal standing in that regard. That's not what we're talking about. Mike says, you stop the mob before they get to your home. No, that's what the police do. You don't. You don't have legal standing to stop them before you get to your home, unless they're attacking you. You don't have legal standing. The law is not on your side on this, Mike. It's just not. So maybe you need to fight to change the laws. X-Future says, does Daddy Rittenhouse bring the viewers or what? Talk about the Cartnarks. No, see, this is kind of the way this works, X-Future. It's the JMAC podcast. So this is JMAC talking about the things that are important to him. That's what this is. I certainly invite commentary, and we are down the rabbit hole, which means you can bring up anything you want, but to downplay my belief that this is important and to assign it that I couldn't possibly believe it's important, I'm just doing it for the ratings, is really going after character. You don't need to do that. Why can't you just believe it's important to me? It's not important to you. I don't have ulterior motives. You don't have ulterior motives. Why do you gotta play the game like, oh, he's doing it and I wouldn't, so he's obviously doing it for ratings. Think about it. You don't need that. Ebola Queen says, Mike, even if that were the case, going out with guns before they've threatened you is not the answer and only will make it worse. And Kyle Rittenhouse is the poster child for that very thing. Mike says, the Ebola Queen, a show of force often prevents violence. It's one of the oldest defense tactics in the book. Oldest defense tactics by the police, the National Guard, not random strangers on the street with firearms. David says, X-Future, you want to talk about cars? X-Future says, yeah, sure, sup. I'm a car nut. Love talking about cars. But don't typically do a podcast on them. And probably because I haven't gotten to my Bronco. It's sitting in the garage since I ran for Congress. Haven't touched it. It's just sitting there begging me to come out and drive it, and I have it. The Ebola Queen says, does it fighting fire with fire? The end of that saying is the whole world burns. Not, and the bigger fire deterred the other fire, and everything was okay. Mike says, that's the point. The police were not catching them, or DAs in many states were not prosecuting them. Keep saying that. In what world do you live in, Mike, where because the police aren't catching somebody, it's your job to go and catch them? What world is that? What world is that? That's actually the mentality of the three men who just killed Ahmaud Arbery. What world is that? No, it sounds like a world you want to live in. But that is not the world we live in. That is not in our laws. That is not in our structure. That is not. Now, if you want to argue that it should be, then go out and fight and change the laws. But until it is in our structure and there's something behind it, don't go wandering into riot zones with your own firearms thinking you're going to make a difference. You're not. You're going to make it worse. Whoa, Alden, I don't even know what to do with your question on Twitch. I have to do a little bit of research there. Caught me off guard on that one, but I see you. Mike says, yes, I agree, but when the mayors and DAs cobble the police at the onset, they can't do their job, then you replace the mayors and the police. We have a system of laws, and we have a representative government, and we have a way to properly deal with these things. And nowhere in our society is it implied or suggested that when they are not, that the answer is for you to step in and do it for them. That is not our civilized society. The answer is to create and affect change through your voice and through your vote. You want to be a hero? That's the path. That's the path. Let's see. Mike says, I said a bit of a pacifist. Haha. I don't think wanting situations to not be made worse by civilians is pacifism. I want order in how things are handled, and I want police to have absolute clarity. I don't know how that becomes pacifism. I want every single person arrested and prosecuted to the full extent of the law, whether they were rioting in the streets of Portland or whether they were causing an insurrection on January 6th. If that somehow fits into some definition of pacifism that you want, fine. But I also supported going after Saddam Hussein, not for the reasons everybody else says. I also supported the bombing, the use of the bombs for Hiroshima. And I supported all the wars we've been in. So I don't know where this pacifism stuff comes from. Mike says, no, Jay, your ulterior motive to get a bigger audience, and that's a good thing. It's actually, let me tell you something. There is a clear path to a bigger audience than I have. There was also a clear path to getting elected for Congress. And that path would be to not say what I believe, but say what I think people wanted to hear. When I started my run for Congress, I had a 15-point lead on everybody else in the race because of my name recognition. But because I refused to lick Trump's boots and I chose to criticize him when he deserved criticism and support him when he did, when he needed support, I didn't win. All I had to do was suck up to Trump. That's all I had to do. I can promise you, I could get better ratings right now. All I'd have to do is come on this show and share all of the COVID lies, and I would have a much bigger audience. I could come on the air and share all of the election lies as if they were true, and I would have a bigger audience. I could come on and praise Trump day and night, and I would have a bigger audience. If my motive is a bigger audience, here's what I want. Yes, I want a bigger audience. Obviously, I want a bigger audience. But I want a bigger audience so that I can change hearts and minds to principles over politics. That's why I want a bigger audience. But I'm not willing to sell my soul for that audience. Just like I was not willing to sell my soul to winning Congress. I will not do it. I'll leave all this behind before I ever have to do that. Let's see. David says, Jay, I feel like I've been listening long enough to know your stance on many things, but what I have never heard your thoughts on is abortion. Can you go there tonight? I have shared my thoughts on abortion on this show. And I have an internal conflict on abortion, because I do believe that the role of government is to protect the lives of those who can't protect themselves. I believe that. But I also believe in civil liberties. I don't want to tell people what to do. I don't want to tell them how to live their life. I hate that. And unless there's an extreme reason to do it, like the shutdown of our healthcare system because of a pandemic or something like that, you're going to typically find me, even if I think that the thing that they're doing is repulsive, you're going to see me fight for somebody's right to choose whether I agree with it or not. So this is one of those issues where you've got civil liberties slamming into the government's responsibility to protect those who can't protect themselves. And so I'm conflicted. And what I would really like is some balance to where women have a reasonable time frame to make a choice, but where the unborn are protected at a certain point. We're never going to get to that, because it is such a divisive issue. We're never going to get there. We're going to have the Supreme Court decide, and then the states are going to go crazy, going one direction or the other. But I would point out some things, and that is that since Roe v. Wade, abortions had been going down every single year. And that there's a lot. It's just like almost with vaccine mandates, there are better ways to achieve the goal that aren't as divisive. I'm afraid that in today's world, you have to decide. You can't be somewhere in the middle on abortion. It is amazing to me to see people who are willing to take away a woman's right to choose 100% from the moment of conception to save a life. But then when it comes to saving the life of people around you by just putting on a mask, that's the most egregious violation of civil liberties that people are comparing to being put in gas chambers in Germany. So I struggle with that. That conflict from many people on what used to be my side of the aisle. I think that there is a reasonable place where we can say women do have civil liberties and a right to choose. And I think there is a place where people will agree that at some point that child becomes protectable. But, you know, I don't know if we're ready to deal with, you know, again, do the finger snap test. Suddenly, no woman gets an abortion. Are conservatives ready and willing to put up the money to support all of these babies born into our society? Are they willing to deal with the consequences that come from that? I don't know. I don't think people think that far ahead, you know. In my perfect world, I want the baby protected and I want a woman to have a right to choose. You tell me how we can get there. Because I'm a big fan of civil liberties and I'm a big fan of protecting babies. Have I given you any clarity at all, David? let's see. Mike talking about cars. Mike said, I never said catch them, Jay. I said stand and show that you won't be pushed around. The Arbery case was a stupid shooting. I'm glad we agree on that with Arbery. But I think you did imply catch them because you said you were complaining that the DA and the police were letting them go. So that seems to me to suggest that you're making the argument that because they're not doing it, that at some point it becomes the job of the civilian to do that. So it just felt like that was the justification you were making. Nick joining us on YouTube says that world is Gotham City in the comic books. Mike says can't replace the mayors instantly. That's a long process, Jay. Come on now. Of course it is. Mike, your logic sometimes blows my mind. So because it's a long process, just take the law into your own hands. Really? Come on, dude. I'll use your words. Come on. If you think there are better ways, let's go down your path. So the belief is, and I don't know that it's unreasonable. Let's say we get, if you know that a protest is going to happen and you want to protect parts of the city, let's say we're going to get armed civilians involved. Okay. If that's what you want, then let's fight to have that codified in law and let's do it smart, not stupid. So let's make sure that we can deputize those people. Let's make sure we know who they are. Let's put them in some type of uniform and let's put them out well before any of the action occurs so it's obvious who they are and where they are. But I'm going to tell you that the issue is not that there aren't armed people there. That's not the issue. The issue is that those people know that they're not going to get caught because there's strength in numbers, and they know they're not going to be shot. Why? Because that's one of our crazy little standards that we have in society, that unless somebody is in imminent danger of physical harm or death, we typically don't shoot them. So the protesters know the police aren't going to shoot. And in order for armed civilians to have any impact, there's going to have to be the fear that they will shoot. And that means that shooting will happen. I would suggest to you that the issue is not that the police aren't doing their job. The issue is that the police don't shoot, and that empowers the bad guy. So the real question is, do you believe that at some point we should shoot to protect property? I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. And maybe that's where I'm the pacifist. But I put life over property. That's how I roll. Mike says, pacifism, let someone else do it when they don't. Oh, well, change the laws. No. I don't know. Is that your definition? let those who are authorized to do it by the people to do it. And if those people who are authorized by the people to do it don't do it, then the people change the laws. See, the word I would suggest you're leaning to is anarchism. When you don't feel your representatives are doing the job, you just take over and do it for them. And you can't have society stand like that. It can't survive it. Just can't. The Ebola Queen says profilers and pro-choicers both agree that abortion should be reduced. They just disagree about how to make that happen. Banning abortion versus education and access to contraceptives. David says, thanks, Jay. Mike says, the reason... Where we go? I lost you here. The reason why the gas chamber is used, this small ass leads to just wear the mask. The whole gas chamber, bringing up the gas chamber in comparison to the mask, is one of the most heinous, ridiculous comparisons. The most uneducated, it's absolutely ridiculous. It is atrocious to make those any comparison to being forced to wear a mask to being shoved into a gas chamber because you're Jewish or gay. I mean, it's just, if you can connect those dots somewhere in your head, I think something's broken. David says, I wish the conversation from both sides went more towards preventing unwanted pregnancies. That's why we need leaders who can build on common ground. People who want to solve problems build on common ground. But I can tell you right now, if you take the pro-choice issue away, you take fundraising away for both sides. They need that issue because that's when we donate the money. They need it. We don't have parties that want to solve problems. And the easy way to know that is, when do you ever see them say, let's build on common ground? They don't. They only tell you why they're different. Mike says, protesting isn't the issue, it's violence. If there were armed protesters preventing people from smashing and burning, I'd support them too. I wouldn't. A protester ceases being a protester the instant they start destroying things. I agree with you. Mike says, no one is advocating shooting randomly, Jay. I know. I never said you did. What I said is the reason the protesters, the rioters, are able to do what they do is because they don't have fear of being shot and they don't have fear of being arrested. So introducing a bunch of other people who are not going to be shooting either doesn't resolve those issues. So the only way to resolve it with your methodology is to introduce armed people who are willing to shoot. That's my point. Let's see. Mike says, do you recall the rooftop Koreans? No, I don't, but I will tell you about the shotgun squads in Texas. They had a bunch of really bad armed robberies, and a bunch of citizens decided to go out and they would just sit in the grocery stores and they would be there with their shotguns, shotgun squads. Mike says, oh yes, the authorized by the people, paid by the people, refuse or unable to do that, then have to lose all their things first, then change the laws. Not much will be left in that model. Everything is left in that model. Yes, there are individuals who lose everything they have, but society has been following that model for hundreds of years. That model works. Mike says, you missed my point. It's small ass that if not challenged, they progress. Remember, it was one shot, then it was two shots, then it was three shots. Now look, in Australia, the government is quarantining people for indeterminate amounts of time. The infected suspected of being infected and anyone suspected of being in contact was also placed in these for lack of a better term, specifically about camps, is the one thing leads to another. Making the slippery slope argument, if you're trying to somehow justify the relation to masks and gas chambers, you're failing miserably. If that's what you're trying to do. There is no comparison. There's also no comparison to quarantining people in a pandemic to putting them in gas chambers because they're Jewish. Mike, there is no comparison. None between the two. The line and the distance between those actions is the distance between good and evil. There is no comparison that can be made between the two. Mike bringing up David Dorn, retired police officer murdered by rioters protecting a friend's pawn shop. And what is the prescribed solution by our society? Catch the rioters, prosecute them for murder, put them in jail. That is what law decides. And the unfortunate thing is that because we have rights in our society, that people get away with heinous crimes. Happens every day. There are consequences and costs to freedom. And one of those costs to freedom is that other people will abuse their freedom. And when they abuse the freedom, we have a criminal justice system to try and catch them and put them away. But we don't throw it all out because people get away. We don't throw it away or take away rights because people aren't caught. We do our level best to catch them. But we don't engage in taking the law into our own hands out of fear that somebody's going to get away. Not our system, dude. Not our system. Mike says people were locked up first before the chambers were involved. They were locked up because they were Jewish and gay. How many times do I have to say it? It's like you're focusing on locked up instead of the reason why they're locked up. That's what is so heinously wrong with what you're saying. The reason behind it is everything. You're quarantined because you have a virus that could kill 1 out of 100 people. You're locked up because you're Jewish or you're gay. What's the difference between those two? If you can't see it, I can't help you. That's why in no place, should comparisons to quarantines or mask wearing be made to Jews in Germany. They are not the same, friend. They are not even close. Not the same. He says, and what was the excuse aside that? They were infected. Infected with what? I can't even believe we have to have this conversation in today's world. I cannot even believe it. That people draw a comparison to quarantines and mask wearing to gas chambers and concentration camps. It's disgusting. I'm disgusted by it, Mike. It makes me ill. It makes me ill. Because whether you agree with what the government is doing, their motivation is to save lives. That's their motivation. Clearly not the motivation of the Nazis. Clearly. Mike says the infection excuse was designed to dupe regular Germans. It didn't necessarily dislike Jews. They were infected with louse. We all know what was happening here, Mike. We all know. Unless you can somehow bring in some idea somewhere that COVID is really designed to get rid of a particular race of people, then there is no comparison and you need to stop. You just need to stop. You need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. If you can somehow say that the mask wearing is designed to go after a particular race or gender and not save lives, that's the point. Dead stop right there. It's unbelievable. Bringing up that the Germans were using propaganda to accomplish their goals changes nothing. Again, what is the comparison here? Why are you even bringing it up? Unless you believe that the mandates and the quarantines have a motive that is race-based, there is no comparison. Mike says, you're making it about a class of people. I'm saying it expanded to just people that don't blindly obey the government. You just keep bringing all this stuff up, Mike. It just don't do it. There is no comparison. There is none. Show, unless you believe this is all propaganda, and I know we've had discussions about your beliefs about COVID and those types of things, to compare the two is to minimize the most horrific event that has ever happened on the face of the earth. It makes me sick that it even pops in your mind. It's disgusting. Ugh. It's unbelievable. And we have elected members of Congress who are doing it. Whew. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. Let's see, was there anything else in my news feed here? South Korea, new COVID cases. No. Do you guys have anything else? We were talking about the Maxwell case. Accuser says they picked her up at a summer camp when she was 14 years old and sexually abused her for 5 years. Man, I hope that she exposes the people who were involved. Let's see, anything else? This is fun. This is like show prep. Biden said the worst that can happen has happened after devastating ISIS case suicide bombing during Afghanistan evacuation. Okay. Gotta rely on Biden for clarity there. By the way, if you're following me on TikTok, you should, because I've been posting all of the political gaffes from the moment we started recording politicians and presidents. George W. Bush was a gold mine for that kind of stuff. Just for good laughs, but also to remind you that a president who gaffes is nothing new. Trump, so many of them. My TikTok handle is jmcfarland0. Oh, LeBron James tests positive for COVID. What is that? Do you see that headline? Britney Spears stops at gas station, uses restroom. Okay, TMZ. Here you see my links from Science Daily. COVID booster, hospitals and pharmacies urged to ramp up rollout. Here's UK inflation. Those of you who think that Biden is responsible for all of the inflation. Yeah, living in a bubble. Epstein pilot testified he flew Prince Andrew. Well, that gets interesting. So we are starting to get stories out of the trial. I'll have to follow that a little bit closer. There's a headline for you. Elizabeth Holmes admits she was CEO of Theranos, the company she founded. All right. Oh, is that the end of my newsfeed? Let's see here. Yeah, look at that. See, it says all done. There are no unread articles in your feedly. That's the moment when I know that I can go to sleep. Let's see. Mike says, you brought it up, Jay. I was attempting to make the how it connects, not even that I agree with it, but to help see the links, how some see it. I know what you were trying to do, Mike, and I know I brought it up. I'm giving you a word of advice. Don't try and connect the dots and explain why people see it the way they do, because it's outrageous. And when you do try and explain and connect the dots, it makes you appear as though you're defending the claims and the allegations. I would just suggest that you stay away from that, because the comparisons are so far apart. It's like saying, they keep records of who gets vaccinated, and the Nazis kept records of the people in the concentration camp. So it's the same. Mike says Trump never said Trump said so many things. Do you really want to see? I mean, you could go to my TikTok, but I've got probably 50 videos here of, I've got way more of Biden and Bush, to be fair, but I have so many here of Trump, when he tried to say anonymous, Covfefe. I've got so many here of Trump. He was not immune. And I don't bring this up to attack Trump. I actually bring it up to point out that when you're in front of the camera constantly, these things are going to happen. And when they happen on your side, oh, they're just funny or whatever. But when they happen on the other side, it's a sign of mental defect. Let me see here. I don't know that I have a quick way to show these. I'll bet I do, actually. Let's see. Where are they? Here we go. TikTok. Oh, I need to do this over here. So first I need to change the scene. So we'll go to a nice holiday backdrop there. And then if I go up here... Let's see if I can pull this off in real time. Again, I wasn't planning on it, but I can show you some of these just for kicks and giggles. What's the fastest way to do this? I think I can just drag and drop. So if I go here, let's view it as a list. I mean, Biden is a gold mine.
If I read something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign.
Biden's been doing it for years.
Those walls were awful thin. I wonder how the hell my parents did it, but that's a different story.
Let's see here. And then ones that are just like, what?
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
But then you get into Bush here. Let's see. Wait, here's more Biden.
doing everything we do to keep Biden from being the nominee. And guess what? We tried it in Iraq. It's not working. So now we're going to try, in Iran. Excuse me.
Here we go.
And it is a, I think it's a, I think it is, and it's a, it's a.
He just, Bush was the gift that keeps on giving. Biden's done it for years. But I told you what I think Biden's problem is. Biden doesn't, he's not able to pre-censor things. Come on, what are you doing here? He doesn't hear them till they come out of his mouth. And then it's too late.
We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over fact.
What else here? Give you some of the Bushism.
Last night, Jeb and I had some crabs with like members of the 1972 Miami Dolphins, Dan Marino and his really dynamic wife,
okay.
TV stars, Andy Garcia. Who could have possibly envisioned an election in Iraq at this point in history?
Anybody here got four kids? Three kids? You got four? Four. Three, okay. All right, all right. I don't know why I asked that. Oh, I know why I asked it.
The responses have got to end in order for us to get the groundwork to discuss a framework for peace, to lay the... All right.
All right, he just walks off.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
He's such a gold mine.
Those who think that they can say we're only going to have a stimulus package, but let's forget tax relief, underestimate. Just making sure you're paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. Trump?
You've really put a big investment in our country. We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple.
Yeah, okay, Tim Apple.
Open wounds cannot heal if we are divided. We must seek real bipartisan solutions.
The wall, the barrier, whatever you want to call it, it's okay with me. They can name it whatever they can name it, peaches.
Okay.
In June of 1775, the Continental Congress created a unified army out of the revolutionary forces encamped around Boston and New York and named after the great George Washington, Commander-in-Chief. Our army manned the airports. It ran the ramparts. It took over the airports. It did everything it had to do.
Okay, took over the airports.
When they gaze upon Yosemite's towering sequoias, their love of country grows stronger, and they know that every American has truly a duty to preserve this wondrous inheritance.
Let's see here. There were a couple Trump. Oh, here we go.
The latest act of resistance is the op-ed published in the failing New York Times by an anonymous, gutless coward.
Yeah.
He was awarded the Bronze Star and the Combat Infantryman badge for his service.
The infantrypan. And then there were just gems like this.
The kidney has a very special place in the heart.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, friend. All good times. Let's see. Nick says, you think they'll get rid of Kamala Harris before the end of her term? I've seen various reports of turmoil between the Oval Office and the vice president. Oh, I don't see him getting rid of her. But I, from what I can tell, the party's already decided she's not electable as president. I think they have moved on from her. Nick says, matter of fact, isn't one of her office people quitting soon from what I've heard? It'd be interesting to see what happens between now and 2024. Yeah, her approval rating, the conflict going on. The Democrats are not looking towards her. Nick says, even if she isn't gone, I think she won't run and he'll be a one-term president. Yeah, I'd love to see both parties put up, you know, some legitimate candidates. And I'd like it to become a little bit more about experience and qualifications than personality. I think that these two elections have shown us what happens when you choose extremes. The Republicans chose an extreme. That extreme was bad enough that it got somebody elected who I think in any other circumstance would not have been electable. And I think that's why you have Biden with such a low approval rating, because I don't think he was voted for because everyone thought he was going to be an amazing president. I think they voted against Trump. And now they're like, you know, what is this guy doing? And that's what extremes do for you. It drives you to make decisions for the wrong reasons. And that's what we've been doing as a country. We've been voting for the wrong reasons. Mike says, what? A candidate that couldn't get 1% in the primary still 18 months later is still a bad choice for POTUS? LOL. Mike says, Tim Scott for president. I wouldn't be surprised if they push really hard for Buttigieg. He's a good mainstream candidate. Biden, I don't even know if I'm sure he'll try to run again, but you know, we'll see. When it's so easy for the right to pin inflation and all of these problems on Biden, when he's not responsible for any of them, he is responsible to try and get us out. But Trump would have been facing all of these same things. It's so easy. So here's probably what happens over the next couple of years. In 2022, Republicans take back control of the House. Biden becomes lame duck. It takes a good year and a half, 2 years to get out of the supply chain issues, the hiring crisis, all of those things. So in 2024, the label put on Biden has stuck, and that is he's the one responsible. The Democrats are the ones who brought all of this on, not the pandemic. And so it will swing back probably to a Republican president. I just hope for our nation's sake it is not Donald J. Trump. Let's see. Mike says Buttigieg has done an atrocious job with his current role when he just took months off and didn't leave an interim in charge. Yeah, he's not going to be electable. I don't agree with you. I don't think any of those claims are sticking on him. And didn't he take time off for his kids, his parental leave? Yeah, I don't think that's going to stick. Nick says, I thought I heard he already said he was going to run again so that he wouldn't be labeled as a lame duck. Well, you say whatever you want. That decision will be made in a year or two. And if Democrats think he is, they're more disconnected than ever. Again, I don't see any of those things sticking on Buttigieg, especially not 2 years from now. They can try, but I don't see it. And a lot of it's going to depend on who. I think the worst choice that the Republicans can make is Trump, because Trump drives out opposition. Yes, he drives rabid support, but he drives out opposition. That's what you do when you peddle in divisiveness. You create a very strong base, but you also generate extreme opposition. And what most presidents try to do once they're elected is they try and bring in some of that middle ground, you know, maybe send some olive branches to the other side, not DJ. That's not his style. And that's what a lot of people like about him. But in my opinion, that's why he lost. Because he created more opposition for himself than he created support. I don't think it matters who was running against him. That's what he did very successfully. Very successfully. So why Republicans would turn back to that when really Biden is a gift to get somebody in there who is not as divisive, who can lead and build some coalitions. I mean, I think the path is wide open at this point for a Republican president in 2024, unless they choose Trump. That would be the hardest path. Not that he can't win again, but I think that's the hardest path. Just me. How long have we been going, friends? Wow, almost 3 hours. I think that it's about time for Oak Island. For me, that's what I think. It's been a blast. I appreciate all of you. Thank you for your comments. Be sure to go to the website, jmcfarland.com. Join the members club. If you can't do that, then you can follow wherever you're at. If you're on Twitch, you can follow. If you're on YouTube, you can subscribe. That will help me out and help me be able to bring more content like this. If you are new, and a lot of people joining us new tonight, I'm here every Tuesday and Thursday night, 9:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. First, we talk about the issues that are on my mind and the issues of the day. And then, what do? We go down the rabbit hole and talk about whatever you want to do. So we've done all of that tonight. Mike says thanks. Nick says have a great night. See you Thursday. I will be back here on Thursday, God willing, and the creek don't rise. Good night, everybody.